Blog Talk Radio.
Oh, I'm sorry. Hello, this is Professor Applewhite. Good morning. This is Student to Teacher to Student Radio Show on the Internet. We certainly welcome all of you this morning. That great music in the background. Oh, yeah, let's listen to that for a minute. All right. That's our Nazim Rashid, co-host of our Student to Teacher, the Student Internet Radio Show. Guest call-in number, all you listeners out there, again, that number is 646. Don't forget to put the one first, as you need to. 646-727-3758. We await your call. Let's see, we've got a few people on switchboard right now. Good morning. This is Professor Applewhite. Hello, good morning. State your name if you wish. It's okay.
Good morning, Ms. Apple. This is Maria.
Hello, Maria Ramirez. Always good to hear from you. Every Saturday morning, you're such a faithful listener and participator. We really appreciate you signing in today. We have another caller, and we'll come back to you, Maria. Anything you need to learn about strategies for you to succeed at school and work. Hello, this is Professor Applewhite. Good morning.
Good morning. This is Dorothy. How are you?
Good morning, Dorothy Rashid. It's always a pleasure to hear from you, our resource consultant at White Apple Institute. Aren't you out of town this weekend? I thought you were out of town.
No, I'm here. I'm here this weekend.
Okay.
Well, you know, Beverly
really
Fulton is out.
Oh, okay. All right. That's true.
She's in Chicago.
Yeah, and you know, the greatest thing about our show, because of the technology, we can be any place and be and able to access the show, able to listen to the show at any given time because all of our shows are taped. And it's just so wonderful that we have this type of technology because we've been helping students at White Apple Institute since 1980 and actually officially 1991, 92 here in Arizona. We've been headquartered, and it's really nice to be able to reach out nationally and internationally to students who are trying to succeed at school and work. Don't you agree?
Oh, yeah, it's wonderful.
So, listen, without further ado, let's go ahead and get into our show description, because we had a technological issue at the beginning, speaking of technology. So we started a little late on the show, but we're hoping that listeners did not get discouraged in their listening out there and call, and we'll call back in. Let's give them that call number again, Dorothy, before you start the show description. It is, again, listeners, 1-646 area code 727-3758. All right, Dorothy, tell us what we're supposed to talk about today, what we're going to focus on.
Develop successful strategies.
Right.
When we're going to take out to go to college, what other commitments do we need to make to ourselves?
That's right.
So can you help us remind us of the initial commitment we made and when we decide into a course?
That's right.
And then also the White House administration purports that every person graduating from high school should prepare to complete some form of job training.
That's right. That's right. Absolutely.
Yeah.
It's a process. It's a process. And we've been talking about the process of developing successful strategies by visualization exercises of our dreams. And Brother Nazim Rashid has been helping us with that. But this part two of strategies for adult learners to succeed at school and work is going to be focused on the process that goes beyond the visualization of our dreams and helps us to visualize not only the getting into the classroom, but going up to the counters and filling out paperwork. That can be such a grueling process. And boy, does impatience develop, doesn't it, Dorothy?
That is true. It took me a while when I began filling out paperwork for my Pell Grant so many years ago, but I was determined to get it done.
Right, right. And that determination has to be there or you will walk out because you can, I can't, students, listeners out there, even you teachers that are trying to go, you know, and get some continuing education units, it does get frustrating registering, and call White Apple Institute if you feel like, hey, I don't feel like doing this. Let us talk to you, okay? Let us help you relax with that and so that you can succeed in doing this, doing any kind of education and training that you need to do to fulfill your job and be successful. We also wanted to encourage our listeners to share strategies that help them prepare to take the first step toward their success. And constantly reminding ourselves, as you mentioned just a moment ago, that initial commitment. And that initial commitment, sometimes we have to go back after, and I was talking to my sister last night about this, and she said, gosh, you're so right. She said, because here I am 5 years into my educational program, and just knowing that, you know, I maybe could go back and look at where I was. And she said, I went back and looked at some of the papers that I had filed at the very beginning, and a statement that she had written in a personal development course that we actually have available at White Apple Institute. And she looked at what she had written, and that's important. What did you write about why you want to go to school? What were your goals when you first started your dream? And she said when she did that, she was then able to re-motivate herself or refuel herself on her commitment that she made when she decided to enroll in courses. Now, we have another caller on the line, and I believe that is our co-host, if I'm right. Good morning. This is Professor Applewhite.
Good morning, Nazim Rashid here.
There you go. I thought so. We had that music playing in the background as we started the show this morning. It was wonderful. We always appreciate your sax, and I was trying to think of that instrument. Again, it's not just a saxophone. It's a what?
Saxello.
Saxello.
Saxello, yes.
I mentioned to somebody saxatel the other day, and they said, what? So saxello. Okay.
Yeah.
So
S-A-X-E-L-L-O.
Yeah, I love it because it feels like a combination of clarinet and saxophone. Am I right? Okay.
Yeah, it's kind of like that. I would say like between like an oboe and a soprano sax.
Oh, okay. Here you go. See, now there's that distinction of expertise that comes out because I couldn't distinguish an oboe from a clarinet, I don't think.
That's all right.
Well, here we go here. And I'll tell you, listeners out there, we were speaking, Nazim and I and Dorothy, we were speaking last week about when we first recognize peace in our lives. And so with that same theme, we also began to recognize when we felt success, okay? Because in our stories of talking about when we recognized peace in our lives, it was a feeling of we can succeed and overcome anything that tries to disturb our peace and create chaos in our lives. And you see, this chaos is what disturbs our visualization of our dreams. This chaos is what begins to enter into our minds and our hearts when we're standing in front of the line at registration and that line is so long, or even trying to register online and you get kicked off and technology takes over, the difficulties exist. We encourage you not to give up. It's worth it. You might not see that now, but it's worth it to go through the process. And once you get your sit your butt down in that classroom and your mind starts opening up and education, learning process begins to already motivate you and you feel this really great healing come over you. Don't you agree, Nazim?
Absolutely. Oh, yeah, for sure. You're right on target with that. Yes, I concur totally.
You know, when you talk about what President Obama and others in the White House have been talking about for years, even going back to Franklin Delaware Roosevelt, education is a very, very big part of contributing and making communities grow. Education and training, both together, of course. And we spoke last week about apprenticeship, that businesses are going back to apprenticeships where they're developing training programs for people to come in and get trained on specific things. Well, I forgot to mention, and I think Dorothy did bring this out, or someone brought it out, that even at the community college now, there are programs that you can get into where you can get a skill, certified skill, and it's a certificate of completion. And many employers accept that as a valid degree of expertise, of knowledge and skill. So don't think for a moment that, you know, because I know some of you out there that are listening, and if you haven't been to college or it's been a long time out there, that Professor Applewhite is letting you know that there are ways that you can go back to school and do something very specific. Take, for instance, accounting and get a certificate in that. Take, for instance, respiratory therapy or even learning Spanish. So there's lots of things that you can do that will enhance your success at school and at work. So don't give up, and don't think that you have to take all the math classes and all the English classes, because when you go for the certificates of completion in different skill levels, you don't need all of the English and the math. So if you need further clarification on that, make sure you call into us. Dorothy, tell them where to call in to White Apple Institute or how to reach us online, would you?
Okay, our website is whiteappleinstitute.org, and our phone number is 480-659-8582.
Right. The purpose of this show, in case some of our listeners are wondering, the purpose of this show is that people will become more familiar with what White Apple Institute is doing in communities around the United States and even in communities around the world where people are studying that are even from America, that are studying in other places around the world or that are willing to come here and study. So everything is pretty much based, though, in United States philosophy of education. So our culture of education is embedded in the American school system. And the American school system says everyone should be in school from kindergarten through 12th grade. And now our American cultural system, our education system, is saying that even beyond high school, that we need to have postgraduate studies to succeed in the 21st century workforce. So we're taking, as a mandatory issue, we're taking things past high school. So that's the exciting part about what Dorothy was mentioning a little while ago. Any comments?
Well, I was going to say, I think that's a fantastic thing right there. And so what I'm feeling is that we actually are raising the standards now.
Mm-hmm.
And as a teacher, when I'm before class, I'm always looking at how can I raise the standard higher and higher and higher, because whatever standard you establish, then what happens is that your classroom, they actually match that. They actually match it. So this is why it's important for teachers to understand that we don't lower our standards to make it easier for them, because it's comfortable for the students, that we raise our standards so that we actually bring in the classroom up. And so that's what I'm hearing right now, that we're raising standards, and that's a good thing.
Yes, it is. And there's a reason why we have to raise our standards, and that is because, unfortunately, we have made some errors in building educational programs for students in foreign countries. And we have allowed people from other countries, which is a beautiful program. Now, don't get me wrong, listeners. It's a beautiful program to allow anyone to come here and study. However, as many, many biblical verses teach us, from the Bible to the Quran to whatever, base foundation that you use for your belief system, it teaches us that we need to take care of ourselves and family first. And so in that same vein, we need to take care of the citizens of the United States of America first. And that has been the, unfortunately, the mismanagement of our educational system. And so now we're coming back to a realization that, we better make sure that our Department of Education is in accordance with the White House administration and willing to prepare some type of transition from high school into a job training program or some kind of postgraduate studies.
Mm-hmm.
You know, Nazim, it's very interesting. We don't require an additional language for anyone unless they're going to a four-year university or four-year college. Did you know that?
Really? I didn't
there's
know
no
that.
Requirement for language.
Oh.
Really?
Yeah, there's no requirement. In some high schools, depending on the program that you're in, you have to take some type of Spanish. And even now they have American Sign Language, which is regarded as another language. So listen, mm-hmm. listen to that, some of you out there who are interested in learning another language, but maybe you don't want to learn Spanish or Japanese or some of the other progressive languages out there, because Arabic is another very progressive language that with those three, Spanish, what did I mention, Spanish, Japanese, and Arabic, those are the three major languages that are going to move you into the workforce very successfully. However, without that requirement being there, Nazim and Dorothy and other listeners out there, unfortunately, people are not prepared for a global workforce. This is a global workforce we're preparing for. This is not just, going to work like we did, 30 or 50 years ago. This means that you may be working beside someone or speaking on the phone with someone who's from a different country, different language, different culture, and you need to be open to learning about that. Don't you agree?
Well,
oh, yeah.
Absolutely. And we're actually way behind. If you look at what other students are doing in other countries, it's very normal for them to know three and four languages.
Right.
You
exactly.
see, it's normal for them. And when I was going to school, it was required. You had to pick a language, but you had to have another language, as part of your curriculum, as part of your studies. You had to have that.
That's right. That's right. And even though it's not required in your program, you're tuning in to student-to-teacher to student radio show because you're looking for strategies this morning. And so we're sharing some strategies with you. Some of the strategies that you need to be aware of is you need to define your success. You need to go beyond visualization of your dreams and visualize yourself standing there in lines or online with your computer and look at the frustration. Go to the worst-case scenario of filling out a complete application. Okay, and here you are, you've gone through the whole line, and now you're at the desk, and they tell you, oh, no, you need this piece of paper or that piece of paper. And you're like, well, wait a minute, that means I have to go back to the end of the line again to come up? Hopefully you'll have somebody that says, oh, no, just come right out back up to the window since you've already stood in line. But we don't get that very often, do we? We don't get that kind of person. And so even when you're trying to get online and you're having technical difficulties registering, we want you to also understand that patience is necessary. So that's the most important strategy that we want to share with people this morning is patience. Patience with ourselves, patience with the process of developing successful strategies.
Mm-hmm. And I also want to interject that religious leaders have said in the past that the only education that is real for us is applied education. You see, you have to be able to apply what you're learning in the real world that you're in. That's real important. So when students are actually in the classroom, they have they got to have a connection, and that's a teacher's job, some kind of connection so they can see that this particular curriculum, this line of studying is going to benefit me somewhere in life. You know, I need to see that. And so when a student is connected to that reality, then they're more apt to be involved and committed to that line of study. You see, so therefore it's got to be applied. So that's a teacher's job. And I think that we need to incorporate more of that, and even from a student's perspective, get them to ask more questions like that, you know, so they can actually see themselves connected to that line of study and as it relates to their life goals.
Students and advisors, teachers and advisors both need to be aware of that. Yes.
Mm-hmm.
I think I got some feedback on another line there. Let me see what's going on there. Okay. All right. Yes, what I was saying is that teachers and advisors both need to be aware of how important it is to give students the right information. And sometimes what I try to do is tell students, don't just accept that someone is giving you the right information. Validate that. Go do your own research. You know, that's part of the process of developing successful strategies. One moment. We've got another caller coming in, and they've been very patient with us. Good morning. This is Student to Teacher to Student Internet Radio Show. This is Professor Applewhite. How are you this morning?
Good morning. This
Good
is
morning.
Martha Bergen. How are you?
Well, I am so happy to hear from you, Dr. Bergen. It's nice to hear your voice this morning. Ladies and gentlemen, Dr. Bergen, certainly this is a great time for her to join us on our show. She's one of our top advisory board members for White Apple Institute. It's always a pleasure to have her join us. And today, Dr. Bergen, we are speaking about strategies for adult learners to succeed at school and work. And have you had a chance to listen a little bit to the show?
Yeah, I tuned in late, but
I
still heard the last couple of callers and comments and just some really interesting information and rich strategies. And I loved Nazim's contribution that in other parts of the world, people do know multiple languages.
Yes.
And
yes.
That whole concept of knowing a language, knowing a culture, I think that the educational institutions as a whole kind of need to look at different circumstances, different communities as
yes.
cultures all across the board. The contribution about, we really need to educate for global connectivity is
right.
absolutely spot on. And
thank
I
you.
Think that the challenge there is so great because there's a whole spectrum between
mm-hmm.
the local and the global. And often, if we connect with the global without reference to the local,
yet
we lose that whole piece and we become, in effect, kind of entrained into this globalness that gives us global level markets, global level employment, global
mm.
level connectivity without sufficiently developing local community, which is
right.
another,
right.
you know, we've got challenges all around the circle here.
That's right, we do. Would you, I'm so pleased to have you on the show this morning because would you share with us, you're quite a sociologist, and I think our listeners will gain from the experience of just what you said and what you are doing from all of your community outreach, from the AmeriCorps program and service learning. Could you just kind of like brief us, take a few moments to brief us on the work that you're doing to connect us locally and globally?
Well, I think Nazim was really already kind of talking about what I do
yes.
when he said that what we teach in the classroom must be connected in a realistic way to what
yes.
we're doing in our life, what we will be doing on our job, what we do in our community. Teaching theory without thinking about how does this apply in the real world. Back in the 1970s, that was the call against higher education. We need this to be relevant. You remember that?
Mm-hmm. Oh, yes. Oh, yes. It was a big call.
Oh, yeah, that's right.
And so today we're still kind of looking at that, and we have different terms for it. We need the, the theoretical piece to kind of help us map out the big picture, map out the continuums that we are faced, and then we need the real world experience to help us understand how that works in our lives. And of course, service learning asks the student to go from the classroom to the community and do something meaningful to build a community, to change the world and make it a better place. And I think that that really helps people to see the connection between the abstract ideas, like, say, the global marketplace, and then what does that really mean for us in the real world? I send my students into neighborhoods of first arrival where you see waves of people coming to this country legally and undocumented from other regions based on economic and political pressures, and to really see that affect the lives of people every day is an example of that.
Well, the programs that you have already been very instrumental with other team members, of course, in putting together, and of course, very, very encouraging to me. Our listeners out there probably are not aware that Dr. Bergen and I have worked together at Gateway Community College. And that's where she is a professor at. That's where I intend to return to in January. And I am just amazed at the work she's able to do with gathering community residents together. Every year around Easter time, there's a big celebration of Easter, and she does a lot of community. She asks local vendors to come out and talk to the community. And it's for some people, it's their first communication with somebody outside of their own home apartment building to even talk about health, education, their children, culture, global workforce, all of these terms that they're not even familiar with. Right, Dr. Bergen?
Well, first I want to say how much we're looking forward to you returning to Gateway, and that you're one of the most effective and loved faculty and staff that we've ever experienced there, and we really miss you, and we're ready. We're so ready for you to be back.
Thank you. Thank you very much.
That is number one. Then number two, I think that there was a really good partnership with the City of Phoenix and the neighborhoods that they started with block watch groups, and then they brought resources in from the city to teach about things like diabetes, for example, or domestic violence, or how to put your child in a car seat and why this is so important. And there's other issues that relate also to the community of people who have members who have a disability. People so need to learn about what their options are, what the cultural norms in this society are regarding that, how to develop the full potential of all family members, and, you know, all that. And they haven't even got to that place yet. They're still doing diabetes, domestic violence. But yet, you know, that partnership starts to bring that information in. But, of course, now, because of budget cuts, you get less.
Right. Exactly. And the when we talk about the process, as we were talking about earlier, the process of preparing to go to school and work. I know some of you may be saying, well, what relationship does car seats and diabetes and all of those things have to White Apple Institute and what this show is about? Well, let me share with you that is part of the process. You see, the process requires that before you stand in the line with your registration form to take a class or get online to register for one, everything must be prepared in your life, and that is why so many people end up dropping out. Is because they're not really at readiness. And readiness means that, are you ready to take your children to a daycare? Have you really investigated that? Do you have a backup plan? How will you get them there? Will you drive them? Do you have a car seat to drive them? You'd be surprised how many young ladies that I've had in my classroom that come to me and tell me they have to go to court because they got stopped by an officer because they didn't have a car seat for their babies. These are things that take them out of the classroom, and the snowball of defeat begins. And that snowball, after one thing, after another, and here you are, after the 45th day of class in most community colleges, you cannot drop without penalty. So if you have financial aid, ladies and gentlemen, you will not be able to go back until you pay for the class. This is under most circumstances, not every. There's always exceptions. But that is why we talk so much about readiness, and that's why White Apple Institute even exists, is to build that support system and build the resources. And we resource with Dr. Bergen and her community, her programs. We have many students. We were just talking the other morning about a student who we want to help, and she's part of the community college process. But she needs support in order to continue. Dr. Bergen, would you, for a moment, would you tell us a little bit about AmeriCorps and the program that you just started at the Gateway Community College?
Well, we're a subgrantee to Paradise Valley Community College.
Oh, okay.
Dr. Paula Von there is the one that brought these wonderful resources to the district. And
okay.
The way that AmeriCorps program works is that if you are 17 years or older and you need to be documented that you are a U.S. citizen or I believe green card or something like that, but those are the only two prior qualifications. You don't have to have your GED or your high school diploma. It doesn't matter if you're 50 years old or 35 or 17, you can do this. And what it involves is making a commitment to, say, anywhere from 300 to 900 hours of community service. And it can be community service that you yourself design, as long as you report to a responsible party that can verify legally, you know, that you've committed this service for the community and you're doing it and you've, you know, count your hours. And then you turn your hour sheets in to our coordinator there at Gateway Community College or whatever community college that you're at, because all of them get some of these sites, some of these funds.
Uh-huh.
Then when you finish and it's verified that you're done with this service, and it could be anything. It could be building a local block watch group in your neighborhood, or it could be volunteering for an organization, or it could be doing your clinicals if you're in a major like, say, nursing that asks you to do clinical hours. Then when you're finished with your commitment and it's documented that you've done this, then there's tuition money that has been banked for you in a special account, and you can then use it for college tuition or books. You can use it for past tuition if you already have student loans that you need to pay off.
Oh, I didn't know that. That's a very good, oh my goodness. I did ask you that.
Well, that's a great opportunity.
Yes, we have many. I just talked to one last night who has a $300 balance and said, I can't register because I have a $300 balance. I'm going to call him back and let him know, if he's not listening on the show this morning, that he can connect with you or one of the other colleges. Now, this AmeriCorps program, I want people to understand that AmeriCorps has been around for a long time. I think I know that I was involved with it back in 91, 92. And it wasn't as advanced as it is now with college credit and all of that. But the 17 plus is actually the age requirement for it to be registered with White Apple Institute also. Mm. And what I'm asking people to do is, if you know, if you're listening to the show this morning and if you're not even interested in AmeriCorps yourself, keep the information. You never know who you're going to run into. And secondly, please look at this as a possible opportunity to share at your churches, at your groups, you know, group meetings or whatever. Because AmeriCorps is all over the United States.
Yes.
And so I'm not sure of what colleges participate, but I can assure you that with President Obama's outreach and the White House administration right now as it stands, that there is definitely a push to develop programs such as AmeriCorps for college credit, for giving your time in your community, so that you get an idea of how things work instead of sitting up and talking about how angry we are. Right, Nazim? Talk about how angry we are because things don't work. This is a way to get in to the political process of whatever field you're in and find out how things work, right?
Right, exactly. Yeah.
And get college credits for doing so.
Well, it's actually it's money for college is what you get. Now, if you want
I'm sorry. This is the service learning is the college credit, And AmeriCorps is the tuition. My God. I mean, you can't lose with these benefits.
You can team your hours. You can kind of double dip them. And also, if you work as a work study on campus, you can also use those hours for your AmeriCorps. So if
if you're work study, you're getting money also for work study, and then you can also double dip and get money for AmeriCorps?
That's right.
Oh, my goodness. I mean, if you listeners are out there, I mean, I'm excited about this kind of opportunity. You know, I meet so many students who run out of money, their Pell Grant. Now, I do suggest that. Now, can they double dip with their Pell Grant?
Well, no, it has nothing to do with Pell Grant. They're totally separate things. Right now, there's a cap of, I think, $2,400 on AmeriCorps, but hopefully in the next academic year, 2010-2011, if Congress allows this, they'll raise the cap on AmeriCorps that you can earn through volunteering a lot, so that it will become double what you get through your Pell Grant. So when your Pell Grant runs out, you still have these AmeriCorps funds that you're building up. Because what happens is a student comes in and maybe they're not ready to take English 101 yet. Maybe their math skills aren't ready to put them right in those algebra and trig classes. And they spend a year or two working on those skills, getting them ready to go into college-level work. But by then their Pell Grant ran out, and now what do you do? And AmeriCorps fits right in there as a way to get people working in their community and building up those funds for themselves.
Gosh, thank you so much for sharing that information with us this morning. Any other comments? I don't know if anybody else is as excited as I am. We have about 17 minutes remaining on the show, but I get excited about resources for students because that's what White Apple Institute was created to do, is to develop resources so that we could become a support system for those who don't have that initial oomph. You know what I mean? When I say oomph, that the initial motivation to say I really want to go to school and I'm really going to go to school. Now, where do I start, okay? And that's when you pick up the phone and you call White Apple Institute, and that's what Dorothy is going to share with us in a minute as a resource consultant. But I want to give Nazim Rashid a chance to talk about successful resources and relating that to what Dr. Bergen just mentioned.
Well, I think that, Dr. Markle, I think you're doing an excellent job. You're one of our one rare angel out here helping all of us. That's wonderful.
Yes. That is so true.
Thank you.
Yes. Absolutely. So, you know, and, you know, resources will only be available for those who want them.
Yes.
And you know, we have to inspire or just attempt to inspire students to have that hunger, have that real appetite, that real strong urge.
That's right, that desire.
And get the resources. Think about it, the resources aren't going to be forced down anybody's throat, you know.
Mm-hmm.
So they have to want it. They have to want it. They have to be hungry for it. They have to be strongly motivated to get it and make it theirs, you see. They have to do that, you know. And so this is what an idea with is actually trying to, you know, tap that little spirit, you know, try to, you know, hit that little button inside of them. To themselves, yes, I'm going to have this. I want it now.
Yes.
You know?
Yes, absolutely.
And then what happens, then the bridge appears. You know, then the resources appear. You know, cause, you know, it's all around us all anyway, even though, you know, I learned something from what Dr. Bergen was saying today, but the idea that there are resources around us all the time.
Yes.
All the time, you see.
Yes,
but until you actually recognize that they're there and they're there for you, you're not going to receive them.
You know, Nazim, I've been asked to give a speech in at the U.S. Army Depot in Anniston, Alabama. And one of the things that the theme of the speech that I'll be doing is talking about the greatest resource. You know, there's all these resources, just like you mentioned, that are out there in the community and even within our own family and friends network. But the greatest resource is within ourselves. And that's where that hunger and that desire that you're talking about comes from. That's where that visualization of our dreams begins. And then we and a visualization is very different than what am I trying to say? You visualize your dreams or visualization versus dreaming. I guess that's what I'm trying to say. Because a dream is just a dream. It's just an image. But a visualization takes you through the actual steps of seeing yourself in school, in the classroom, in front of students as a teacher or as a nurse, in front of patients, or vice versa. And so that's why it's so important listening to Brother Nazim Rashid and Dr. Bergen this morning and our other participators, that you get the idea that this resource is within. Is that true, Nazim?
Oh, absolutely, absolutely. You know, that's a great exercise I have in my book, actually, on how to really see what we're talking about. If you go outside, just go outside and just, you know, sit in the car, just sit in your porch and close your eyes and think of a particular color. Just think of it and see a color really sharply in your mind.
Yes.
See it strongly. See it in your mind. And it only takes about a minute or so to do this. Open your eyes, you'll see that color in front of you.
Yes.
You'll see it
very,
there.
Very, very
true. But beforehand, you didn't see it, you know?
Right.
So what's that saying? They're saying that the color is always there anyway. It was always there. You just didn't recognize it. It was always there.
It's like, you know, when you buy that car and all of a sudden you see everybody else is driving that car. You begin to recognize it because it becomes a reality to you. Our visualizations become realities if we allow it, because we have this wonderful tool within us called our brain, which monitors our mind and monitors the way we look and think and feel about things. And it's what motivates that initial commitment to say, I'm going to enroll in courses at a community college, I'm going to get a certificate, or I'm going to get an AA degree, or I'm going to go into a job training program for continuing education units, or I'm going to call someone, even if it's White Apple Institute, and find out about apprenticeships programs that are going on now and being supported. So this is where employers are putting in the money. Just like the AmeriCorps program that Dr. Bergen talked about. We've got about 12 minutes remaining, and we want to go back to Dr. Bergen for a minute and ask her how she feels about her support for White Apple Institute. Dr. Bergen?
Yes. How I feel about my support for White Apple Institute?
Yes, and what we're doing. Are you pleased with what we're doing? Do you see anything else that we could do to enhance, our program of outreach?
You know, White Apple Institute always amazes me. I thought that I had a pretty good worldview and that I was a person who was oriented to building community and uplifting others even as I am uplifted, and extending my heart out to others as others extend their heart out to me. And you taught me through White Apple Institute that my vision is so tiny, and your vision is so large and so beautiful, and the love that's extended through your organization is amazing to me. It brings tears to my eyes. It brings joy to my heart. There's no specific thing I can say. It's just, if you're aware of something anywhere in the world, you're going to influence it positively because of the great love that that lives here in this organization. It is a light to the world. It is beautiful. And when you taught me about other cultures and thinking about what is going on with their culture around disability in other cultures, and how can we connect throughout the world in this reaching out and this love and this faith in every human's potential, it just knocked my socks off, and I'm going to be around as long as you're around, dear.
I want to support
this lovely organization. It is a good place.
Well, we appreciate, I want to let everyone know, we appreciate Dr. Bergen, not only for her advisement that she gives, but also she has made significant contributions to help us, even with transportation locally here in Arizona. She's donating a very nice automobile to help us to transport students that get stuck in the middle of, you know, trying to get to a test and they don't have enough money for a bus, or they just can't get to the daycare and drop their children off. These are emergency crisis situations that happen, and that can absolutely inhibit somebody from doing the last thing they have to do to graduate from a program. And so we really appreciate all of her contributions. One of the things that I'd like to bring out before we close is that, you know, our organization is focused pretty much primarily on people with disabilities succeeding in school. We have adult learners that have pretty much very many non-visible disabilities. And that means everything from cancer to to AIDS. We have women who have many at-risk issues. They're dealing with domestic violence and being moved from one state to another, and they need to get into school. We have people challenged by reading and math difficulties that no one would know just sitting down speaking to them. And so the non-visible disabilities are the ones that we really focus on a lot, because people hide behind them, and they hide behind them so well that it inhibits them from ever succeeding at school and work. So we encourage you, as we have a wonderful resource within Nazim Rashid as our personal development consultant, call us and say, listen, I want to talk to Nazim Rashid. I want to talk to Dorothy about all these resources that you have. Because she's going to beat you up over the head about the library in a minute. So we're going to let her take over with about 7 minutes remaining on the show and tell us about some resources that we can connect with and some of our sponsors. Don't forget to mention Dr. Bergen. Thank you, Dorothy. Go ahead, Dorothy.
Hi, Dr. Bergen. I wanted the correct spelling. I want to share the AmeriCorps with some of my Facebook friends.
Oh, it's AmeriCorps.
Okay. I wanted to make sure and get it right before I send it out. Okay.
If you Google it, you'll find the homepage, and it tells all about the programs, because I'm certainly not an authority on their programs at all. And, you know, I was kind of nervous about talking about it because I could misspeak.
Okay.
But if you go to the webpage, it's got all the information there. So you could do that.
We appreciate that.
Okay.
You did a great job explaining it, Dr. Bergen, to the best of your ability, to how you're utilizing the service. And so
exactly. Yeah.
great.
And you have Dr. Bergen spelling of her name, I'm sure.
Yes.
She's on the board, right, exactly. Okay, so what else do you have to share with us this morning?
I wanted to remind everyone we're a volunteer organization, so we appreciate donations. We have memberships that range from $12 a year to $288 a year. Mm-hmm. And you can email us at whiteappleinstitute.org if you're interested in those. And also reminding everyone that the library is a great resource. If you want to make one step toward learning more about education or learning how to get online or anything like that, it's amazing how helpful they are there with you, to you. And yeah. Also, one of our sponsors, we thank you, Wendy, Wendy Duncan. She's on the board also. And her phone number is, she has donated financial to White Apple Institute,
mm-hmm.
and her number is 480-620-6013.
Yes, and she also, I mean, she's with Farmers Insurance, and not only has she just recently donated a tremendous amount of materials for teachers. So any of you teachers out there listening, we have some great resources for you, some materials that you can use in your classroom. From everything from, identity theft to stranger danger to identifying, risk factors for parents and children as far as molestation. So there's a lot of things that Wendy Duncan has brought to White Apple Institute in the name of software. So feel free to contact us for that.
Oh, beautiful.
Mm-hmm. Anything else? I think that was this morning, right?
Nothing else I can think of this morning.
Okay. Oh, wait a minute. Oh, we can't forget the donation made by the Islamic Student Center.
Oh, how could I forget?
Oh, my goodness. Tell us a little bit about that.
Nazim, do you want to elaborate on that one?
Oh, okay. Well, all right. Well, here in Phoenix, Arizona, there's a group called the Ashura Benahum Islamic Center, in the Shira Bainahum at Islamic Center that donated $300 to Professor Apple for her, you know, to relieve some of the burdens that she's been experiencing recently. And so they just wanted to make sure that they contribute, because it's all about trying to help someone else, and that's what the Islamic Center is really all about, trying to help someone else's life be more enriched and so they can live a better life themselves.
Yeah. Well, we really thank you very much, and we have a number of students associated with us that are involved in the Islamic Center, and I really appreciate their input. I can recognize one right off the top of my head right now, which is Abdel Karim, and he's just done a wonderful job utilizing the resources of White Apple Institute, and so we thank him very much. He's from Morocco, and he wants us to reach out to students in Morocco, because there's a lot of people there with disability that have no idea of the resources available to them from an international perspective. And that's what we're trying to bring out. I mean, if they need a wheelchair, if they need hearing aids, we want to help them to do whatever they need to do to succeed in school within their particular culture, because everything's not just coming to the USA. Sometimes we have to utilize, and I heard President Obama saying this, we have to utilize the resources within our own culture, within our own communities, no matter where we live. And so we have to identify and know what they are, which is, you know, right back to what Dr. Bergen says, doing community outreach. So all of these things tie in together in the process of readiness, the process of readiness. So without further ado, I'd like to, you know, share something inspirational. And Maria Ramirez, you're online right now, and I don't know if you'd like to share something inspirational with us. How did you feel about the show today? How about that? How did you feel about the show? Did you like the show? Just give her a few moments to get to the phone. Okay. Well, she's not able to get to the phone right now, but we just wanted to acknowledge her. And I just want to share something with you from a book that was given to me, and we hope that we will be part of this book in the near future. It's called How to Change the World, Social Entrepreneurs and the Power of New Ideas. This was given to us by Dr. Bergen, and with her hope that we actually, that White Apple Institute would be part of this movement. In addition to that, please put your order in at the White Apple Institute for Nazim Rashid's book called Reconnecting. That is a very, very beautiful book on personal development. We missed Jerry and Donna Govan this morning with their book, Take the E Out of Ego, which has a lot to do with readiness and understanding how you can follow some of the examples that Jerry Govan has done to change his attitude about success. So without further ado, we're going to say goodbye to our listeners out there, and we inspire you to look within yourself and know that within yourself is the greatest resource, one of the greatest teachers of our time. Jesus Christ from Nazareth taught us to seek the kingdom of God within us. And Nazim, do you have another statement that would add to that?
Well, yes. One of the great personal development specialists, Earl Nightingale, had as his first hit called Acres of Diamonds.
Acres of Diamonds, yes.
Yes, and so we possess that. We are sitting on our own acres of diamonds within us, but we have to recognize diamonds in the raw state. So that's
yes.
why we have to spend a lot of time in there to see the raw state of those precious gems.
All right. We're closing our show now with our beautiful music from Nazim Rashid. His album is available on Amazon. And we thank him very much, not only for his input as co-host, but also for the wonderful work he does. Have a great week. We hope we helped you develop successful strategies to succeed at school and work. This is Professor Applewhite wishing you much love and success.